It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Skipping meals? Cutting out carbs? Still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest. You aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now to talk things O.J. Simpson. I actually have a couple Hugh Freeze questions in there as well. Is Amy Dash, special legal correspondent. You can follow her on Twitter at Amy Dash TV. Amy, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So yesterday's decision, in your professional opinion, was it just to grant O.J. parole?
I think he met the criteria. And there's very little discretion exercised. There's an allowance for discretion, but really, it's a point system. And the question is, would he be a danger to society if released? And so they go through 11 criteria, and he scores very low on these criteria.
So when you say, is he a danger to society, when they're considering this, it's a tricky one because, yes, he was acquitted of the murders, but there isn't a single person who believes that he didn't commit the murders. Is that... can that be taken into account when they're making their decision?
No, absolutely not. In fact, it goes in his favor because one of the criteria is, does he have a criminal record? And they said, no, he does not. So they have to take the jury verdict at face value and they have to respect it. Another thing that they look at is how old he is. I guess there's a prevailing thought that the older you are, the less dangerous you are. They look at whether he had gang affiliations in prison, which he does not. They look at whether he has alcohol and substance abuse problems. There's a whole host of criteria that they're basically measuring. Also, how did he behave in prison? He had no disciplinary write-ups. When he got there, he said he was going to be the model inmate, and he was.
So Amy, now apparently Florida, where he lived prior to his arrest and incarceration, they can reject his parole. Walk us through that.
In Florida? No. You know, basically what happens is he will be paroled, and it's usually the way that it works is the states recognize another state's ruling. So I think that that's exactly what will happen. But there will be conditions upon his parole. So if he wants to go to Florida, of course, they have to go through this whole bureaucratic process and approve it. And once he gets there, he still has to answer to his parole officers in Las Vegas, or they may transfer the authority to Florida, but he's going to be supervised. And basically, if he wants to travel anywhere, he has to get it approved. And he's going to have all sorts of conditions on his parole. Since this event involved guns, I think it's pretty safe to assume that he's not going to be allowed to carry any weapons. And if he makes even the slightest violation, he could be put right back in prison.
And the slightest violation, give us an example of how easily he could end up back in jail.
If he travels and doesn't ask his parole officer. And also, if he commits any type of violation against the law.
Geo and Jones with Amy Dash, special legal correspondent across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I heard, though, he's allowed to drink and smoke weed, though, so I guess that's good news for him.
I don't know about that.
I did read that this morning.
Yeah, but I don't think he can be, like, trafficking drugs.
Well, no, there's a big difference.
Personal there. Supply. I mean, come on. I was just trying to get it to the house.
A moderate amount, right?
Yeah. The spectacle we witnessed yesterday in a lot of different, not just sports networks, a lot of networks were covering this deal. Is this usually how the process works, other than having one of the members of the parole board wearing a NFL team's tie?
You know, it's really interesting because he was already paroled on a bunch of the charges. So this was the second parole hearing. The first one took place 4 years ago in 2013, and nobody was there. Nobody paid attention to it. And I have to tell you that in that parole hearing, he came off so much better than he did today. I mean, yesterday, rather. He was a disaster yesterday. I mean, when you go before these parole boards, you want to tell them exactly what they want to hear. You want to show remorse. You want to take responsibility. And I don't know what he was spewing yesterday, but for like 10, 15 minutes, he's just denying and excusing and justifying. And then finally at the end, I like to call it his game-saving touchdown. He says, I'm sorry. I'm a convict, and I should not have done this. I regret it. It wasn't worth it. And all of a sudden, he took responsibility. But if you watch his 2013 parole hearing, which is on YouTube, on the State of Nevada Parole Board YouTube page, he couldn't have come off more perfect. And I think it's because nobody was watching. And he said all the right things, and he just didn't feel the need to over-explain himself.
I don't watch a lot of parole hearings. I don't think a lot of people do. But this one came across to me, not just the OJ stuff and him not showing remorse until the end, but the way the whole thing was conducted didn't seem professional to me. In the beginning, when the one woman said that he was 90 when she meant to say 70, and they're yucking it up like crazy, then OJ makes a joke, well, I could stay in Nevada, but I don't think you guys want me. Ha, 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 and everybody's laughing there. And then the pig with the Chiefs tie who's taking selfies. I mean, are most parole hearings, are they like a family barbecue like this one was yesterday?
No, not at all. I was amazed. I was even surprised that one of the parole board members brought up the 95 acquittal, because I don't think they're supposed to bring up any type of case that he has not been convicted on. And what she said is that the parole board has received hundreds of letters, some in support, some in opposition, and many saying that he should be kept in prison because of the 95 acquittal, but she just wanted to assure him that that's not going to happen. But I think even bringing it up, even mentioning it, was totally out of line. And I think the whole media circus was inappropriate. It should have been conducted exactly like in 2013. They could have filmed it the way they did through their own agency and posted it online. And that would have been more fair. And I really think that he was either overexcited or performing, or finally this was the chance for him to tell the world his story, and he really wanted to explain his version of events, but I was just shocked that his lawyer didn't tell him to shut up.
Yeah. Well, now, am I correct? One of the guys who testified in his defense was one of the victims that he was trying to recoup the items from, I believe, and he was wearing a Heisman shirt. He's just as outlandish as the parole board member that had the Chiefs tie on. How far did that go in helping OJ? The fact that one of the so-called victims in this deal was there to testify on his behalf.
That was tremendous, because that's very rare. You hardly ever see people who are victims of crimes advocating for the person who committed the crime to be released. So I think that weighed in his favor. They want to take into account the impact on the victim and whether the offender has made amends with the person, whether they've tried to address it, because that's closure for a lot of people, even if they can't erase the effects of the crime. And so I think that was very helpful, especially at the end when he's like, I got your back, juice, or whatever the heck he said about taking him home. And the fact is that the other person that was the victim, he passed away. So there really was no opposition.
Geo and Jones with special legal correspondent Amy Dash on CBS Sports Radio. You know the law. You know the TV business. Do you believe that O.J. Simpson at some point is going to end up with a TV gig of some sort now that he is able to do so?
I have no idea, but what I've been saying to people is that he can't make any money, and I don't think he wants to make any money because the Goldmans are after him. They have a judgment that's now grown to more than $50 million, and they will attach and have attached anything and everything that they can get their hands on because for them, they don't feel that they've gotten justice over the death of Ron Goldman. Obviously, they believe he did it, and so this came up even with the memorabilia that was the subject of this robbery. They went after that as well, and they got their hands on it. They were entitled to sell it. What happened is that Fred Goldman would have had to pay O.J. Simpson the first $6,000 of any sale because of an exemption for family heirlooms under the law. And he just could not bring himself to write this check, so he ended up giving all the memorabilia back to O.J. So I don't think O.J. wants to be pursued by them. Will he get a TV deal? Probably not, but maybe he'll offer himself up as a free analyst on your program, perhaps.
No, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. We got this. We got Bugatti Casino. We don't need OJ. Yeah. I see you're a big UFC fan, I presume.
I got a
picture.
I've actually for let's see, close to 2 years.
Okay, so I just saw a picture of you with our boy T. Wood.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just kind of sort of fell into that because I was doing the whole legal analysis thing. And one of the fighters, Nick Diaz, had a suspension for marijuana, so someone told me to look into it. And I couldn't believe that his career was going to be over because he was tested positive for a little bit of marijuana. So I made a big deal out of it, and all of a sudden I was hired as the legal correspondent for this mixed martial arts show, which has since been canceled, unfortunately, but it had a 9-year run. But so all of a sudden I'm covering mixed martial arts, and I still haven't been to a fight in person, and I didn't know anything about UFC, but surprisingly there was a lot of legal stuff going on.
I have to ask you a question about this Hugh Freeze story. I'm not sure if you're overly familiar with it, but I'll give you some of the details. So there was a lawsuit brought against the former Ole Miss coach by the coach that preceded him and said that he was calling reporters and talking bad about him and saying that some of the nefarious things that were happening in the program were on the previous coach's watch when they weren't. So there's a big lawsuit, and they looked into phone records of Hugh Freeze. And under the Freedom of Information Act. So my question to you is, let's say I sue Brian for something similar. Just because of the Freedom of Information Act and a lawsuit that may be frivolous that I file, I can go through all of his phone records based on the Freedom of Information Act?
You know, that doesn't sound right to me, unless there's some sort of a catch-all. But here's the thing. If this is made part of discovery, in some states, there are something called open access laws, where once it becomes part of a case, and if one attorney has it and gives it to the other, you can get that. Now, here in New York, where I am, you cannot, because the laws are more strict, so it would actually, you have to wait for the trial, and then anything that's admitted into the trial, you can get access to as a journalist. And that's because a lot of times you're going through the discovery process and things are not admissible for one reason or another. So I think that could play into it, but the laws are different in every state. So some are more liberal and some are stricter, obviously.
And once they started combing through the phone records, they found phone calls, not to journalists, but rather escorts. And this guy had to resign yesterday. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
You know, obviously that brings up this whole age-old debate about whether your personal life and your professional life should be intertwined and whether you should be punished. I mean, it goes back to the whole Bill Clinton saga.
Yeah.
Does it matter what somebody's doing in their personal affairs?
And as far as the Houston Nutt Ole Miss lawsuit, I think it hinges more on not necessarily defamation, but violating a certain clause in that contract where neither party could talk about either party in a way that was negative. And so, yeah, defamation is in there, but it's more so of violating that clause when Houston Nutt settled with the school after being fired.
Yeah, I mean, it depends then if they have evidence that he actually said, not just called this service, but that he was actually saying things that were against them. I mean, I don't know how they would know that definitively. Maybe they would have some circumstantial testimony, but that could always be disputed, of course.
Amy, thanks for the time this morning. We learned a lot. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Amy Dash, special legal correspondent. You can follow her on Twitter at Amy-TV. And I am happy to hear that not all parole hearings are like that. I kind of had an idea.
Everyone, OJ included, and the parole board, they were playing up to the cameras.
Oh, without a doubt. And, I mean, I just, in a situation like that, and I don't want to sound like I'm going to get on a soapbox or say that I know for a fact that I would handle a situation differently, but I would hope that if it were my job to free someone from jail, and this was a serious responsibility that I was given and I was hired to do, and then I found out that there were TV cameras that were going to be there, that I wouldn't at that point make it about me because this is my chance on television. Now, of course, we're loudmouth people that call attention to ourselves because we do a radio show. But if you're a parole board person, and you're hired to make the critical decisions of should I let this convicted felon out of jail or not, and instead you're concerned about showing off your favorite team or taking a selfie inside the room to show up and then show up on a radio show, I mean, that person should not have a job there.
Right. Yeah.
And anybody who gives that guy time, and I won't even say his name, but anybody who gives that guy time, like that radio show in Kansas City, I think it was 610 in Kansas City, guy Bob Fesco, and they're like, oh, he's a Chiefs fan. It's so cool. I mean,
it's not cool.
Have a little self-respect, will you?
You got real-world implications here. This is not just about your fandom for a particular team. And the parole board member should have more respect and have a better barometer as far as his wardrobe and knowing that this has huge implications on a person's life.
Yeah. He said when he was asked about this, too, that he was trying to keep the mood light. Oh, okay. Thanks.
Really?
I mean, trying to keep the mood light? It's your responsibility to do that? Your job is to decide whether or not you should be free or not. That's your job. Your job isn't to be the warm-up comedian for a parole board hearing. What a jerk. What a jerk.
Yeah, I would agree.
But in today's world, this guy is going to be heralded. And even the people were making the comparisons to Ken Bone yesterday. Remember Ken Bone, who was that that dude in the red sweater with the mustache who asked a question during the debate with the town hall
debates,
the town hall debate. But I mean, Ken Bone was just a funny looking dude.
That's how he dresses all the time.
And his last name was Bone, and that's funny.
Right.
And he asked a question. So, like, he became a celebrity, so now this guy's going to kind of become a celebrity. It's totally different.
Yeah.
And Ken Bone wasn't hired to do a job that should be taken seriously.
And your job isn't as a parole board member to become famous or try to attract attention to yourself.
And then the
job is to do your job.
And the laughing of the, oh, you look good for 90 years old. Oh, come on. And I don't know how I would react in these situations, but I'm feeling if I just spent 9 friggin' years in jail, that I would show up there. The last thing I'd want to do is laugh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
I'm with you.
I'd be sitting there as quiet as a church mouse. Yes, sir. No, sir. Especially if I was convicted and I was guilty. Well, I'm sorry. I blew it. Not if someone even laughs. If someone calls me 90 years old, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm not 90 years old. 70 years old. Mm-hmm. But thank you. It's been a ha, 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 ooh, 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 hee, hee, hee. God, that was made me want to puke yesterday.
It was a spectacle. That's why I didn't want to tune in. Like I said, I caught a little bit of it, and the whole I've represented this institution well, really. Like it would put you, they're going to have a hall of honor for the inmates instead of representing the institution. They're going to retire
your corrections number.
Corrections number.
902-439 goes up to the rafters.
This number will never, ever be used again.
What a joke. Geo and Jones. We got a lot of stuff still. Hugh Freeze, OJ.
We got some more quotes from Hugh?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, great.
Tiffany.
Oh, Tiffany. That's right.
Yep.
Tiffany. I can't believe. Oh, she's in town, so we're not waking her up. She's not on the West Coast. She's in town getting ready for the Lizards.
Tiffany.
Well, she did the show already. Yeah, post-show Tiffany.
So Tiffany.
We've got so much on this show. I can't wait.
Post-mortem.
Keep it right here.
Check us out on Facebook at Geo and Jones.
Because this is a big track, and you better have a big old engine that can get around this big old track. the Brickyard 400. Who's going to kiss the bricks? That's what they do, Mikey B, after you win this race. Jimmy Johnson's going to be a favorite. Brad Keselowski's going to be a favorite. Your boy, Joey Logano. I'm going
with him. You throw him in there a lot.
I'm throwing him a lot. He's a good damn driver.
Okay.
That's why I'm throwing him in there.
Keselowski's going to win it.
You think it's going to be Keselowski?
Yeah, I do.
He's kissing the bricks.
Mwah! Advanced Auto Parts introduces Speed Perks. Spend $100 and get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry, no points to keep track of, no nonsense.
No vroom vroom today. That's a little different. Why?
Because Bogus has the other one?
What do you mean he has the other one?
For the last 3 years, he's been playing that drop.
Not Pete.
I wasn't you, Pete.
No.
So, damn.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
This whole time, I've been yelling at Pete to do it. Bogus has been doing it.
So that's been a big joke on you, Brian.
Why? It's not a joke. It's not funny. You're like I'm smiling.
It's not fun. It's not funny.
Am I laughing? Don't joke with my NASCAR music.
I thought those were good sounds, though. No?
Play again.
Good sound.
Those are good, but there's a little lull there in between. I like Bogus's cut better, but that one can grow on me. Thank you, Pete.
Andrew Borgish?
Yeah, Borgish too. And Brad Haler? Haler.
It's an easy enough
it's
name.
It's Hilaire, you're mispronouncing.
Brad Hilaire. Hey, Brad, you need to be nicer when I come in the morning. You should have some pleasantries and maybe, you know, some eggs and crispy bacon or something. Just say hello
okay.
And be nice. And, you know, I don't know what had you in a bad mood, but you should check that.
You said to him, "Oh hell no!" When you saw him,
you hear something.
I second that.
I'm staying out of this one.
Me too.
You know why?
It's about to be Brad Keselowski.
If I ever seem not 100% happy to see you, it's because I'm getting ready to do my other.
Well, won't you take your other somewhere else?
No, because it's easier for him to do out here. The stretching thing. I'm sorry. I'm staying out of this. Brad, go ahead. Answer the man. You could be the one that has a stapler lodged in your butt.
Okay.
Did you hear that story?
No.
Well, Brian threw a lot of office supplies at one of our employees.
He deserved it.
It was a tape dispenser, a stapler. Was it a hole puncher in there as well, or was it two staplers?
Two staplers.
And
oh, the second stapler is where I draw the line. The first one, he probably was warranted.
And then that's audio of it right there.
Oh.
Yep.
Mm. Oh.
And
it's on our Twitter page. If you'd
it's
like to
physical
see it,
around here every now and then.
Yeah, and then he threw the tape dispenser, and I don't know if you knew, but inside the tape dispenser to weigh it down is sand, and it broke, and all of a sudden we had like a little beach volleyball court out in the newsroom. So
that sounds like fun.
That's why the stapler in your butt reference was made, because it's a possibility around here if you tweak the big guy just enough.
Tell you what, you could liven up that newsroom a little bit with something like that, you know?
you don't think our newsroom is live enough for you? It's not good enough for you?
As the stapler gets pulled out of the studio.
I guess 880, 1010 win. They got a party going
over there, right? You got a pinata in there or something?
What's up?
What's going on?
Everybody's just doing their work. Everybody's at their little cubicle doing their own thing.
What are they supposed to be doing?
Yeah, what do you got against our newsroom?
Want me to dance for you?
Yeah, what do you think this is, man? Coming here and insult our newsroom?
Want me to amuse you?
Yeah. What, you want the black guy to dance for you? Is that what it is, Brad?
You know what? This took a turn.
I can't believe
it. Damn update. I mean, how about that?
Brad came in here and said dance boy, just like Conor McGregor did. It's amazing.
Get him, Conor!
It's amazing.
Now, funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you?
Yeah, I amuse you.
Do your update before you make it worse.
I make you laugh.
How about you make this update entertaining?
Okay.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to start with a shakeup in the SEC.
That's all you got?
That's what I'm going to start with. I'm not going to give away the rest of it. You wouldn't need me if I gave it away.
Right.
Well,
come on.
You freeze would.
All right. Ole Miss head coach Hugh Freeze resigned after the school's investigation into a call to an escort service. Here is Ole Miss athletic director Ross Bjork.
So we proactively looked into the rest of his phone records. In our analysis, we discovered a pattern of conduct that is not consistent with our expectations as the leader of our football program. As of yesterday, there appeared to be a concerning pattern.
Ole Miss had publicly supported Freeze through an NCAA investigation that resulted in a postseason ban for 2017. Assistant coach Matt Luke has been named the interim coach. O.J. Simpson on the front page of all the papers, at least here in New York, now that he's been granted parole, a unanimous vote by the four-member board. Simpson has served almost 9 years in prison for an armed robbery conviction. He's eligible to be released on October 1st. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers' 11-game winning streak is over.
Driven left field and deep toward the corner, chasing Taylor at the wall. It is gone! Kurt Suzuki with a two-run home run. And it's 5-1 Braves.
Jim Powell, Braves Radio Network on the call there. Braves cooled off the Dodgers 6-3 in L.A. The Dodgers still lead in the NL West by 10.5 games. They lead the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. Arizona got two home runs, six RBIs from Jake Lamb, and a rout of the Reds. The Brewers leading the NL Central down to one game on the Cubs. It's three on the Pirates after they were swept in Pittsburgh. 4-2 the final on Thursday. The Royals are their best offensive showing of the season. 19 hits and a 16-4 rout of the Tigers. Orioles won their fourth in a row. They beat the Rangers 9-7. The late games, Yankees topped the Mariners in Seattle 4-1. Padres beat the Giants 5-2. Update on round two at the British Open. Three-way tie for the lead. Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth, and Brooks Koepka are all at 5 under par. And from the NFL, the Panthers releasing offensive lineman Michael Orr. Gentlemen.
Hits all right, for Ole Miss, just keep on coming.
Yeah, I know. And the Blind Side was on last night, you said.
Right.
That was no way that was wasn't a coincidence. It was a coincidence. Yeah, there's no way that was a coincidence. Right. That's right. I could speak.
It was a coincidence. Yeah. Something like that.
Anyway, the Blind Side was on. Brad, get out of here.
You're bringing us down, dog.
Yeah, seriously. Man,
Can't wait to come back in 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
You have a sponsor for that update?
No comment.
All right. Couple people tweeted us about that Freedom of Information Act.
Yes.
Question I had for Amy Dash, mm-hmm. where I just found it weird that someone could sue someone else for something, and then all of a sudden you could be able to look at all their phone records. Mm-hmm. But a couple people tweeted the same thing, and it makes sense. Mike Dingman and John Brandio both tweeted us at Gio and Jones on Twitter, GIO and Jones. If the phone was paid for by a public university, that would make it subject to
right.
the Freedom of Information
True.
Act, whereas a private phone
no.
would not.
Right.
And the Hugh Freeze phone calls to the escorts were made on the university phone, which is just Oof. Even more unbelievable
yes.
than the story itself.
And how was he not aware of that? Why would you do that on your work phone when you have a private phone? It just makes no sense whatsoever.
Well,
maybe he got carried away. And or maybe he was just bullheaded and didn't think he would ever get caught.
Well, that's what I think. But this one's more interesting, though, because when you have like Rick Pitino, and we talked about that thing, and I firmly believe that he knew what was happening there at Louisville and some of these things that you see these guys get wrapped up in. You're like, how could you possibly think you'd get away with that? Mm-hmm. It's because they get away with everything, these guys, and they have for years and years and years. However, Ole Miss was in a very sensitive place while this was going on. They were under investigation. Hugh Freeze was feeling the heat from all angles,
right.
and he still did this.
Yeah.
So he must have just lost his mind at some point and wasn't thinking and just did something really stupid. And there's a lot of people in you look at human history and men and decisions that they make when it comes to sex,
yeah.
it could be the downfall of their entire lives.
Yeah, it's undefeated. And once again, we are made, it's made abundantly clear that that's the case. So Hugh Freeze just misstep after misstep, and then trying to cover that with all this faith and being so out front with his religion compounds the problem and makes him look even more like a jerk.
Yes, even more. Like, not like a jerk, but even more yeah. like a jerk. There was a viral video yesterday that I couldn't get enough of, even though this man should be in jail, and
yes,
I'm not sure. So there's a Florida man, and there's a Twitter account called Florida Man. Because
what is up with Florida?
Because I don't
all
know
all the crazy stuff people do there.
But there's so many people in Florida that do crazy
yeah.
stuff. So this guy sees a couple of AT&T work trucks outside of his house. They're doing some work on the phone lines. And he doesn't like the fact that these trucks are outside of his house. So he goes out with a revolver and shoots the tires out of the truck. Bang, bang. And then the video with sound on it has one of the AT&T employees calling 911. You could also hear the bang of the gun and then the tss of the tire air coming out.
That was a big-ass revolver he had. That gun was huge. Like Dirty Harry out there.
He was. And then he was shooting at the engines of these trucks, too. So it, but it
got good to him. Like Richard Pryor said, I'm going to shoot something else.
It really was unbelievable. But the video was out there. It went viral. It's one of those things that would not be nearly as fun and as interesting of a story as if there wasn't video. But yeah, .357 revolver. In Hialeah, Florida. So I'm trying to get the guy's name, but I guess it doesn't matter all that much. But one of his neighbors said, he's an impeccable man.
Yeah, with a gun.
Right.
It's when impeccable. When he's toting, yes, he is impeccable.
I'm shocked by this because he's an impeccable man. Older dude, too.
60-something, I think 64, and just annoyed with these trucks. But, man, you know they're not going to be there forever. They're having work done on the phone lines. Just let them do their work. Or turn your TV up or something. Or go for a ride.
Yeah, seriously.
Get out of the neighborhood for a few hours.
I mean, this isn't like a party next door.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people doing their job during the day on a Thursday afternoon. We're not everybody's home, by the way. He's retired. His name is Jorge Hove, and he's a 64-year-old retired firefighter, lives in Hialeah. And what scares me is when he shoots the first tire out and he starts walking around the other side of the truck, he looks over at the guy filming him and just doesn't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Just so calmly, like, this is what I'm doing. Now, if you're that guy who's filming this, aren't you, like, soiling yourself?
Yeah, right. You have to be afraid, especially when he looks over at you and he's just nonchalantly... goes back to doing what he was doing, so I guess you feel a little safer and secure at knowing that he's noticed you, but yet he didn't pull up his revolver and point it towards you. He went back to the ire of his consternation, which were the trucks, the tires, the engine. Wow, it just keeps happening in Florida. Some crazy folks.
Yeah, I mean, and this guy clearly just screw loose, just totally lost. Something happened. Maybe he had a rough day. He's just been losing it. And by the way, just a note to Jorge Hove. If you want a truck to leave area outside of your house, don't shoot its tires out.
Yeah, right.
Because now it's going to stay engine. There.
Yeah, it's going to be there for a minute.
I mean, maybe he just wanted them to stay. Maybe we got this thing all wrong. I've been waiting for these trucks to come, and I don't want you guys to leave.
What was his bail? Like $30,000, which he posted. But now he's charged with assault, with a deadly weapon, even though he didn't point the gun at any of the workers.
Yeah. I mean, this is not something you should be able to get away with, though. I mean, I don't know what the punishment's going to be, but this is not something you should be able to get away with. All right. We want to hear from you. We've got so much happening. Hugh Freeze, your thoughts on that? We took some good calls on that earlier. We're opening up the lines. They're wide open. The escort Hugh Freeze story and where Ole Miss goes from here, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And also O.J. Simpson, when you watched that parole hearing yesterday, what were you thinking? Should he have been granted parole? 855-212-4CBS. We're coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We had legal correspondent Amy Dash on. I found it fascinating that she brought up that OJ probably doesn't want to make a lot of money because you just have to give it right to Ron Goldman.
Mm-hmm. Now, he still has his pension. And that was has been the case where no one could touch that. He has his NFL pension.
It's almost $900,000, I think.
Is it his pension?
Yeah, that's what someone tweeted. Almost
NFL?
Yeah.
What?
I think it might
be. No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn.
I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't make sense. The NFL has one of the worst pensions. It's better now, but it has one of the worst of all the major sports leagues.
Let's see.
It's amazing if it's $900,000. And he was retired under different rules than I did and others did. So I would be shocked if it even approaches $900,000.
$600,000.
Really?
Based on 57 months in jail after his 65th birthday, that's $602,000.
Oh, okay.
$602,205.
So that's what he will recoup, or that's the interest for not collecting it all these years that he was incarcerated?
It says if he waited until 65, he just turned 70.
Right.
He would collect 2.69 times $423,000. That would make his pension $10,565 a month. So based on 57 months in jail after his 65th birthday, that's $602,205. Yeah. Well, so not quite 900, but...
Right. More than enough for him to live on than down there in Florida and keep his head low and just stay out of trouble.
Yeah, which I don't know if he can help himself sometimes, though. I mean, I don't know about the staying out of trouble thing. Well, that remains to be seen. But is he really... You saw him yesterday.
Yeah.
You heard
Still a
him.
Ham.
You heard him yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I really don't think that he's going to be able to stay away from the spotlight. And remember, this is a guy who, before he went into that whole hotel room and the threatening and what got him in trouble for this, this is someone who was just about to do a TV special called If I Committed the Murders.
Yeah. True.
This is how I would have done it.
Well, hopefully 9 years of lost freedom has given him a better idea of how to behave once he's released. And, that was misguided, just as was the thought and the action of going to that hotel to retrieve stolen property. Man, you have your freedom. What's more valuable than that? A few items, a few... things that you amass as a player, why would that carry as much weight or even more weight than your freedom? So 9 years of incarceration would allow you to reflect on your past behavior, you would think, and you'd come out being much wiser than you were going in.
I guess you could look at it both ways. You could say on one hand the scare that he had going to jail for the rest of his life if he had been convicted of the murders, that he would have come out of that saying, man, I really got away with this. I got to be careful now. You could look at it like that, or he could have said, oh, my goodness, I can get away with anything. So I it seems like the latter is the thing that he ended up saying to himself, like, oh, I can get away with anything. Incredible. 855-212-4CBS for Matt in Buffalo on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Matt?
Fellas, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, Matt. Well. How about you?
Good. I wanted to make a comment real quick, specifically to Brian, but I just wanted to touch on something. Obviously, I'm from Buffalo, so OJ, you know, we take that a little bit, you know, personal up here. And I also was in prison for 12 years. So, like I was just telling your producer when I was on the phone, I think with OJ winning the way that he won, I think it's empowering. It's not serious until you do have your freedom taken from you. And although OJ was incarcerated through that entire trial process, it's empowering to win. And I think his arrogance, coupled with his celebrity, coupled with his past, there was no way that OJ was just going to come out, win that trial, and go away and be a normal person that was under the radar. That just wasn't his, that wasn't his thing. And I would think now, after having had his freedom snatched from him, and now he's getting it back, I think you'll probably see a much different person, because there's no way you can go through an experience like that and not be a changed man or a changed woman. There's no way that he's going to come out and be the same person. I would hope for his sake and for his family's sake that, you know, he appreciates the time that he has left. He appreciates his freedom, you know, and he does the right thing moving forward on every level. Forget these stupid books and television shows. If I could have done it, I would have done it this way. That's foolishness. OJ can probably do a press tour for the next year to 18 months, tell a completely different story, and get some people who maybe look at him in a very negative light to say, wow, this is a changed man, and you know, let's wish him the best moving forward. But having said that, I don't want to bring everything down. I just wanted to tell you guys Like I said, I was gone. I was gone for 12 years. I listened to a national radio show and television show every morning, like a lot of sports junkies do that are incarcerated. And it wasn't until I came home and found you guys, you know, that I actually had something that I liked and that I loved. And I don't tell you guys this, you know, lightly. I listen to you guys every day from the moment I get up until you go off. And I get a ton of enjoyment out of you guys. I think you guys are hilarious. I think you guys are insightful. You have good guests. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to listen to you guys.
Matt,
thank you.
That really makes us feel like a million bucks, trust me.
But I just want to say one thing, Greg, one thing to Brian. Brian, sure. You were a Division I athlete. Mm. You know what goes on at these colleges. Whatever Hugh Freeze is doing is nothing. Escorts is nothing. What about the group of little girls, young college girls they get for when these recruits come in to entice them? We know what goes on with the parties and all that stuff. I mean, for Hugh Freeze to be calling escort service, that's minor in comparison to what's really going on these campuses. Come on now, Brian.
Matt, you should know this now. You were away for 12 years. You never rat on your friends, and you keep your mouth shut.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I know nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
But there's also...
You know, nothing.
There's a difference here, what's going on. I mean, they're really...
Tell them the difference, G.
Well, all right. You really want me to break this down?
Break it down.
Well, I think that...
See, the difference is, hurry up, clock, and go to break.
All right, just because something else bad is going on doesn't mean that he should be able to get away with what he's doing bad. Yeah. Is that a better way to say it?
Just because I'm doing bad things on 6th Street down in Austin doesn't mean I'm also putting out tweets from Jesus.
Yeah, and then the whole
being a hypocrite.
The whole Jesus thing is another side of this, and the hypocrisy. But
yes,
also
things go on in college.
And it's also not illegal, though, too. It's not illegal to go on a recruiting trip and then someone there would like to have a little fun with you, and you do, and then you end up going there because of it. It is illegal in this country to call up an escort and pay for sex. So there's a difference there.
Yeah, true.
There's your difference.
Hugh Freeze should have gone to see our buddy out in Vegas. What's his name, Mikey?
Dennis Hoff.
Dennis
Hoff of the Bunny Ranch.
Should go and see Dennis. Yeah.
Could he have? He would still have been fired if he was caught at the Bunny Ranch.
Well,
I think.
Get caught. Use a disguise or something.
He used a university issued phone.
What's your name? Man?
Several times to get hookers. You telling me he wouldn't have gotten caught?
My name, Henry Cole.
Coming up next, we'll go through this Hugh Freeze story again. Want to get your thoughts on it? 855-212-4CBS. Lines are open. We're talking to you on Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
Skipping meals? Cutting out carbs? Still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest. You aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.